This morning, as we celebrate Pentecost, we're going to return to the actual verbiage in the scriptures that talk about what happened on that day. So join me as I read from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Will you pray with me? Gracious God, open our ears to hear and our hearts to feel your presence today as your words come forth about your blessed Holy Spirit. We pray this in God's name. Amen. Do you ever think that we live too small? That our expectations of faith in God are too limited? We love to celebrate Christmas and Easter, but we far too often forget to celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost is considered the birthday of the church, when God's Holy Spirit came to the believers, empowering them to be God's hands and feet, his ambassadors on earth. Maybe one of the reasons that the celebration of Pentecost falls short has to do with the fact that we just don't fully understand what happened that day. The author of the New Testament book of Acts had already written the Gospel of Luke, an account of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But now he set out to recount what happened after Jesus ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus had instructed his disciples, his closest followers, his apprentices that had been with him for 2 years to wait in Jerusalem for the power of God's Spirit to descend upon them. Now, I don't know about you, but patience isn't always one of my virtues. I've gotten better at being patient with age and God's help, but I often like to move forward when I feel like there's an assignment to do. Oftentimes I find that if I live my life this way, I seem to run ahead of God, or even worse, I move in the wrong direction that God never intended me to go. I really think that if I were one of the apostles, having witnessed not only Christ's life, death, and resurrection, but having seen Christ ascend to heaven, I'd be on fire to tell people about it. Might have quite possibly not heard Jesus' command and started to do things my own way. And yet, to their credit, the apostles seemed more patient than I am. Jesus implicitly instructed them to wait. He further added that it would be better if he were no longer with them, because if he were there and hadn't gone to be in heaven with God the Father, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come and fill them. The disciples were probably perplexed and thinking, how could it be better if Jesus was gone? But think about it. If Jesus stayed with them, they wouldn't have the Spirit living within them. He had trained them and taught them, and now it was their turn to replicate that effort. They were to spread the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth, which only could be accomplished in God's strength, not their own. So they waited for God's Spirit to work in and through them. Jesus in his earthly body could only be in one place at one time. Therefore, if he stayed with them, his influence could only be contained. But with the promised Holy Spirit coming to dwell in all believers, everywhere, all the time, all followers of Christ would be led, guided, and taught by God himself. And the amazing part is that that is exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, and they were able to spread the good news to all people, communicating it to them in their own language through their own, not their own means. Already the power of the Holy Spirit had instantaneously been manifest in their lives. Bystanders were convicted by the Spirit's power at work in the disciples and many converted right on the spot. And that was how the church was born. So if the Holy Spirit did this on Pentecost, what is preventing that same growth from happening in our churches today? Maybe we believe that Pentecost was just this one-time occurrence. Or maybe we just don't fully understand who the promised Holy Spirit is and what he does. William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, wrote over 100 years ago that he worried his greatest fear for the Christian church was that someday the church might have religion without the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, I think in some ways Booth's prediction may have come true. Too often we see the church as a religious entertainment place rather than a conduit to effect longer change, lasting change, transformation into Christ-likeness, or a place to train up today's disciples. As individual believers and as a corporate body, we cannot live authentic Christian spirituality without the Holy Spirit actively working in our lives. Authentic Christianity means seeking the Holy Spirit, asking the Spirit's guidance when we make decisions, and asking God his plans before we make our own. It means seeing God's thoughts about moving forward instead of measuring our success by the metrics of the world. It means going to God with everything in prayer and not just when we're in trouble. And it means never forgetting to be the people and the church that God intended us to be. I would venture to say that all of us love God, but not all of us lean into the promised power that is offered to us through God's Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. I would further venture to say that as a church, we don't always seek God's counsel instead of our own. But that was the intent, to go through this world all by our own, on our own. That wasn't the intent, to go through the world all on our own. The Holy Spirit wants us to come into close fellowship with each and every one of us. He wants to fill us and lead us in a deeper relationship with God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means allowing God to lead us where he chooses, moment by moment, day by day. The Holy Spirit is the power of God sent to us to be present with us, who empowers us to use our God-given gifts and talents. And that same Holy Spirit which was present with God the Father and the Son at creation and was present with Jesus on the day that he was baptized, that same Holy Spirit was present with the apostles on Pentecost and is still available to us today. And yet we hesitate to accept that power. I've been working with Christ followers in the area of spiritual formation and discipleship for years, and I often am perplexed by the hesitation they have to go deeper. Some of this reluctance stems from the fact that as Westerners, we believe we're self-sufficient, living by the mantra, I can do it on my own. But I think another underlying cause of resistance towards allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us is fear. Maybe we're afraid of what the cost would be to be truly recreated as new creations in Christ. And believe me, I'm not condemning anyone because I've been there myself. I grew up in the church, even went to parochial school from kindergarten through high school, and attended a Christian university. My whole early life seemed to be centered around church, and I had a strong faith in Christ. But there always seemed to be something lacking, something missing. At first, I thought it was just the church that I was attending, that maybe it wasn't filling my spiritual needs. But after venturing out on my own quest to deepen my faith outside of the confines of the church, I realized the lack was in me. I didn't have the Holy Spirit working in or through me, not because the Spirit was unwilling, but because I had not allowed God's Holy Spirit, which was indwelling in me, to operate. When I accepted faith in Christ, God's Holy Spirit came into me, but it was almost like on a pause button. And over time, I learned to seek out the Holy Spirit, to allow it to operate in my life, to be strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and to use the giftedness I received from God. I truly believe that if I had not allowed the Holy Spirit to work authentically in my life, I wouldn't be standing before you today bringing forth this message. As Christ followers, we need to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, to take our faith off the pause button and allow ourselves to be transformed and equipped by God. When Jesus said he would send the Holy Spirit, it was not just a promise for the early church. That same Holy Spirit is available for us today. Throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Paraclete, a rich word from which there is no adequate English translation. But the word we commonly use to describe the Spirit are comforter, counselor, helper, supporter, advisor, ally, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and mentor. It means we can lean on the Spirit in everything to relieve our pain and our fear. We can ask the Holy Spirit for divine advice when we face life's challenges and decisions. We can ask the Spirit to help us with all things, big or small. And we can rely on the Spirit to pray for us before God when we can't find the words ourselves. We are assured that the Holy Spirit stands as our defender before the throne of glory. And we remain certain that we don't need to do things in our own strength, but can rely on God's Holy Spirit to strengthen and empower us to do the things God asks us to do and to continue the work of Christ's ministry on earth. The Holy Spirit is said to hear, speak, witness, convince, glorify, lead, and guide all of us. He tells us that we can groan before the throne of glory with Spirit's words, crying out in God to prayer. For me, I find the Holy Spirit to be my closest connection to God, the one who guides me into intimate relationship with him. And in life's decisions, he also guides me in the pathway of truth. I am enabled to grow and thrive by the power of God working in me. Now maybe you're thinking, well, wait a minute. Of course you can say those things. You're an ordained minister. And I promise you, as I said before, that if I had not fully embraced the Holy Spirit and received its power, I wouldn't be here today. I could never be such a witness for God using purely my own strength. Without the Holy Spirit, I would still be living a life of faith that seemed lacking and weak. And it's not just true for me. The empowerment of God through the Holy Spirit is shown time and time again in the New Testament. This presence of the living God dwelling inside believers is the truest mark of a follower of Christ. It becomes apparent to all who interact with the believers that first, God maintains personal fellowship with them as they seek his presence. And second, that they are transformed into Christ-likeness as they are strengthened through their submission to God. And lastly, they identify as ones that are confident because they themselves are heirs to God's kingdom. So let me ask you this. Is there something in your faith walk that seems to be lacking? Maybe it's dependent upon how much of the Holy Spirit you have. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you led by the Holy Spirit? Have you thrown your life wide open to be filled with God's Spirit? Do you rely on the Spirit to enable you to respond to God when he prompts you? Do you believe that you are a temple in which the Holy Spirit lives? Do you revere the Spirit's work within you and cooperate with it as God prescribes? If and when we allow the Holy Spirit in, not only will our individual lives change, but the life of the church will forever be better. We will have a powerful witness reflecting to the world who God is. We will show people Jesus as we love them the way God does. And filled with the Holy Spirit, we will use the gifts given to us to further the kingdom of God. Our individual and communal lives will bear the fruits of the Spirit. And we will live authentically in the will of God. We will operate in divine power with the Spirit of God living within us. And serving God will become exciting as we are using his instruments. We are promised power, ability, efficiency, and might. But we need to believe this power is available to all of us and learn how to use this power in our lives. We need to learn to go to God first before we go anywhere else. One of the reasons why we don't have success in that the plans that we make is because we often run off on our own and don't consult God first. Or worse yet, we go ahead with our plans and then pray for the success of the plans afterwards rather than making sure that God was part of it in the beginning. It's not bothersome to God to ask him his will. Life in the Spirit means life living in the will of God. We can continue to keep God in our Sunday morning box and not let him into every area of our life. But that will only keep us living a lukewarm faith. We need to create an atmosphere in our church and in our lives and in our homes where the Holy Spirit can live and lead us each and every day. how valuable it is to have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. The Spirit's indwelling within the followers of Christ, which began at Pentecost, was sent by Jesus himself to transform us and work continuously in our hearts and minds to bring us closer to God and to keep us there. The Spirit's first work is to bring God's people into perpetual communion with the Savior. And as a result of that communion, we become bold in faith, and our whole beings are filled as a living testament to God and what he has done. Today, let us remember, as we celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the day in which the Holy Spirit came to rest on all those who believe in Christ, that it's most importantly to remember to allow the Holy Spirit, who is waiting to be activated into our lives, not only individually but corporately, so that we might have the power of God's Holy Spirit equipping us in our faith. Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord, it's so easy to go on our own, to think that we have all the power and all the will that we need. But Lord, we ask you to help us surrender our lives to you. We ask you to help us to grow closer to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the empowering of the Spirit, we are led into the path that we should go and to do your will. So Lord, today, help us to really accept your Holy Spirit's power, allowing him to direct our steps corporately and individually as we seek to do your will in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.